Now, last week we talked about the trial of Hugo Pinel that took place in Salinas. He was charged with assaulting a guard, and he was given a verdict of voluntary manslaughter. I sent wires to Washington. I read that letter, the telegram I sent to various members of Congress on the air last Saturday about the Department of Corrections in California. And the night letter, the telegram said that Pinel had been denied all of his legal and human rights, and that the Department of Corrections, Mr. Pecunier, Attorney General Evel Younger, had to be investigated by Congress, that there was a conspiracy of the judge and the public defender and the justice system.
You haven't had a reply to this, have you?
Well, yes, I did. I got a call from two congressmen's offices, and they called me, and I'll give you the names of the people that I talked to, and they were meeting with the other men in Washington. The Civil Liberties Union has agreed to take this case on now. They talked to them in Washington. They have called Mr. Caldwell, Pinel's lawyer, and I got a call from Don Edwards. I got a call from Representative Conyers from Michigan, from the House of Representatives, and they wanted to know which of the members of Washington, of the Congress, I had notified, and I gave them the list, Ronald Dellums and Shirley Chisholm and Senator Fred Harrison. I had a list of 12 people that I had sent these night letters to. And I talked to each of their secretaries and asked them to take down a tape of what I was saying to them because they were trying to find out, get a clear picture of what was coming on in here in California. And I said the very important thing, the first immediate goal is to save the life of Hugo Pinel and Raymond Marquez and other inmates in the California corrections system, particularly those that wanted to testify for Pinel because they were threatened with electric shock treatment, brain shock treatment, and they were put in strip cells. And the immediate goal is to save their lives and get the hands of the officials off of these men and quit beating them up and get some orders out to Soledad and San Quentin to get their hands off of these men and take those chains off and quit brutalizing them. And the first response I got also from Representative Kassenmeyer, when I spoke to him, was that Washington is not cannot handle the jurisdiction of California. So I explained to them that from now on, they have to get one thing straight, that this is going to be like a Nuremberg trial or tribunal, that this is not 50 separate states that conduct its own business, that the state of California is completely tied up into a total conspiratorial assassination squad that goes up and down this coast and all links together, and that Washington will have to get into their heads that they're not only going to do an investigation of this state, but they can start with any one case, like the transcript of the Pinel trial, or they can go up to the Soledad incident. They can go right into the Robert Kennedy and the L.A. Police Department and the whole Justice Department of the state of California, and that these men, I know it's an election year and they've got a lot on their minds, and the timing of these things is coming close too, but this research has nothing to do with elections. It has to do with saving lives and stopping the killing. And in last October, when John Mitchell was looking for somebody on the Supreme Court to fill a vacancy, there were two men that he was thinking about recommending. One was William French Smith, and the other was Lynn Compton. And I sent out personal letters to every member of the Senate. That's a lot of letters to every single member of the Senate, 100 letters. And in that letter, I said that William French Smith was Ronald Reagan's lawyer. I mentioned the law firm he worked in, and Compton was formerly chief deputy to the state attorney general, Evel Younger. And I said in that letter that no attorney in the state of California or in the state of Texas, not one, associated in any way with public officials from these states should be considered for an appointment of this nature. All the evidence of the conspiracies to murder John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, Sharon Tate, and other Los Angeles massacres must be examined out in the open, and members of the federal government of the United States must immediately stop promoting these officials into positions of increasing power. It's a long letter into the criminology of these murders, and I talked about the state of California. Now, the remaining of the program, I'm going to talk about an article that came out in the Los Angeles Free Press this week, because last week we talked again about Lewis Packwood, and I talk about him very frequently on this show, because I'm talking about conspiracies in California. And for those of you who don't know the name Lewis Packwood, he's a man who worked for the Los Angeles Police Department for 10 years. And he surfaced this year as a provocateur and agent of the police intelligence complex. And the Los Angeles Free Press, I bought up all the issues. I put them on the peninsula for various people this weekend, so you'll have to order them from the Los Angeles Free Press in Los Angeles. There's a section called The Glass House Tapes that came out this week. It says the story of an agent provocateur and the new police intelligence complex. There's a committee in Los Angeles that is trying to study. It's called the Center for the Analysis of Law Enforcement Practices. And there's a group of people, it's the Citizens Research and Investigation Committee. And Tackwood is working with them, and he has a book coming out called The Glass House Tapes about the Los Angeles Police Department. My research the last 9 years is on the political assassination. His ties in, what he's saying, fits in with everything that I have been saying about the political assassinations, and particularly the state of California. Here's a man who worked 10 years in this particular system, and he has surfaced now. The issue of the LA Free Press is dated April 21st, and I wish many of you would order it. And I'm going to talk about some of the allegations that Tackwood has in this new issue, because last week we talked about his first surfacing and the things that he said. The Glass House Tapes, it's a book that will be coming out, is the story of an agent provocateur. And the Glass House is a modernistic building in downtown LA which houses the Los Angeles headquarters of the Intelligence Division. And from these tapes, Tackwood is making allegations against the Los Angeles Police Department. Tackwood first became known to the public at a press conference at KPFK on October the 15th, 1971, where he told of the Criminal Conspiracy Section, CCS, of the Los Angeles Police Department. They provoked him to crush the Black Panther Party, the Black Muslim Church, and they were involved in prior planning of the Marin County Courthouse shooting of where Angela Davis is being tried right now. He said the Criminal Conspiracy Section, in cooperation with the FBI, organized the squad we talked about last week, Squad 19, to provoke violence at the National Republican Convention in San Diego, where the president would have an excuse to invoke special emergency powers. Tackwood is a brother-in-law of the late James Carr. His wife was the sister of James Carr, who was killed up in San Jose. I've talked about James Carr the day that he was shot. I've talked about him on the program several times. This week's paper has an article that the men were hired to kill. They're up now in arraignment, the pretrial hearings in San Jose. The men who killed James Carr were given $540 to kill James Carr. This program is on the air. You can appreciate the day that I'm saying this Saturday and mark the date down. And I will tell you that the Mercury this week, and they began the hearings on the James Carr murder, and up there the lawyers and prosecutors can't find a motive. The motive is going to be the Los Angeles Police Department that hired these men, just like I've talked about the Yablonsky murder, long before this woman began to talk about her father's involvement in Tony Boyle of the United Mine Workers. This case will lead, any one of these cases is going to lead right to the Los Angeles Police Department and the Attorney General in California. The evidence is coming together up and down the whole state. And these murders are done for a purpose. The purpose of killing Carr at this particular time is to cause uproar in the black community in San Jose, mistrust of the white community, to make Angela Davis's trial look like she's part of this very radical group that continue murdering, that somehow they're all nested together and working together, and it affects the minds of the community and the jury. And it's a smear technique, and then they can blame Carr for the murder of another Panther. Now that he's dead, they're trying to pin the death of Fred Bennett on him.
Will the prosecutor in the Carr that's investigating the Carr murder eventually come to the Los Angeles Police Department?
No, because the prosecutor is, the question that the prosecutor was asking Mrs. Carr was, do you know Fred Bennett? Because an informer of SDS had said that Carr had shot Bennett. And they're looking for problems between the Panther Party, between themselves, as the motive for the murder. But on to the Tackwood article, this is what he said would happen. The article came out April 21st, and then a week later, the prosecutor's doing exactly what he said they would do. Now, Tackwood said that Jerry Cohn, who's a writer for the Los Angeles Times, had met with Carr, and he knew Carr's allegations, and he knew that what Carr said Attaquit, and he knew what Attaquit said about Carr's death and how they would try to pin it down to the Panthers and Huey Newton. And Jerry Cohn doesn't write this in the paper. When he writes for the L.A. Times, he writes about smearing Angela Davis or bringing in the Panthers. Jerry Cohn is a writer for the L.A. Times who could bring in things that Louis Attaquit has said, the foreknowledge that they were going to kill Carr. He said the Los Angeles Police Department had him marked a year before, and they were ready to kill him. Attaquit claims that Carr was scheduled for assassination 1 year ago in Los Angeles as part of a plan by the criminal conspiracy section to divide and create divisions within the radical movement and eliminate its leadership. He says the Los Angeles criminal conspiracy section. Attaquit further claims that Carr and Huey Newton supposedly were to be set up for a bust in connection with the death of Fred Bennett. The L.A. Police Department would say that Carr and Newton were connected with the death of Bennett, and they would do it by a police agent named James Mosher, who would go to Congressional Subcommittee. Now, Jerry Cohn wrote in the L.A. Times that he concealed the link-up of the knowledge that Carr and Attaquit's knowledge of James Carr. He hides all that and writes a smokescreen about the Black Panther Party being involved, or the Angela Davis Committee. That's what we talked about the first issue about news media control. Jerry Cohn knows that the criminal conspiracy section was planning to kill Carr. And then after Carr is dead, he puts up all these other screens and blames it on the Panthers. Now, this last week, the New York Times was filled with articles about a shootout of the black Muslims. And I have a suggestion for people. I'm going to go off the article for 1 minute about Attaquit. In the newsletter I have out, one of the 28 columns is called You Be Your Own Sleuth. And one, I'll give certain projects for people to do to begin to study, because they can't learn it all from me. They have to figure this out themselves, some of it. So one of the things is to get a manila folder or an envelope or a paper clip, and every time there is a death that makes a lot of attention in the news of the mafia, the Muslims, the Panthers, black groups, or labor leaders, or Chicano, or Mexican-Americans, cut that article out and put it in an envelope. No matter what the prosecution says, or the police says, or the news says, cut those out and see what these shootouts are about. And a year later, compare the evidence with the original news coverage. There was a shootout of the black Muslims in New York City last week, and I started a file on the Muslims about 6 months ago when I realized that the intelligence agencies, police agencies, would use groups against each other and say that the Muslims are killing each other off. There were a lot of shootings in San Francisco and Oakland and New York. So last week at the Muslim church school where a lot of children were assembled and people were assembled, the police department broke in, similar to the Hampton shooting in Chicago. They didn't kill anybody, but they broke in and shot the building with holes and terrorized people and took some off to jail that were left out. And they were told that they had a call on their radio that somebody on the second floor was endangering lives, and these men came in with a clipboard in their hands and not with guns. So the Muslim chief said it could be possible that they were coming in to defend somebody who was in trouble, but they marched in and took people off, and there was a big race war on the streets in Harlem of the Muslims and the police and an altercation. And an unknown person called the police to say that he's unidentified, to say that something was happening at the Muslim church. Well, Louis Attaquit tells at the time that he called the police to tell them the Muslims in Los Angeles had guns, and they didn't. It was accused of case with LA Police Department to all march in, take over. They didn't find any there, but to provoke, it gets the headlines that they went there. And then later, when there's nothing there, it doesn't make the headlines. And Attaquit told his tactics in the LA Police Department in working as his agent. And this was a year ago that he's telling about, well, the going into the Muslim churches about a year and a half back or two. But he's confessing all this now. And then in New York City this week, an unknown caller comes, again the police come, shoot the building, could have endangered the children, start a race war on the street, and you have the same agent provocateur. You see, it's happening in California, and this man's telling how he does it. It's happening in New York City, as I read the New York Times. And again, these unknown calls, unidentified people tipping off, and then the police just come in start shooting, and the masses get angry at the police, and then the police get more money for more arms because the people are angry at the police. It's a vicious circle, and it's hard to summarize, but you know what I'm trying to say, that the conspiracy from John Kennedy on down the street program is just continuous. Now, the committee that are investigating what is happening to the California law enforcement up and down the coast has an address in Venice, California, 22 Paloma Court, Venice, California, 90291. It's the Citizens Research and Investigation Committee. And they are unraveling that city and this state. There's a group of people working very hard and putting this information together. And now they have a publisher for Tagwood's book. It's going to be published by Avon Press. When the LA Free Press came out, they were asking for help for people to help protect the life of Tagwood, because he was out on a parole these 10 years working for the LA Police Department. And now that he's talking, they want to pull him back into the hands of the police department. And you know then what would happen to him. But the technique of the system is often to use men out on parole, because then you have a string to pull them back. And James Ray was on parole, and Charles Manson was on parole, and you have a way to bring the men back into the jail and then take care of them if they blow their cover.
So what's being done to protect Tagwood?
Well, the main protection, I think, is the people who listen to my show, and if they have a wrist and a piece of paper and an 8-cent stamp, begin to write letters to Washington, to any members of Congress that they trust, and say, we no longer have confidence in the state of California. We don't have the evidence, but we hear somebody telling us that something is wrong, and a lot of these things are fitting together that we listen to. And if they would keep writing, I wish people would write more letters and show an active interest in what's happening and try to save the lives of people like Hugo Pinnell and Lewis Tagwood, and not get them back into the prison system. There's a long control here of the men, as I say, the men who were out were ex-convicts. The man who was hired to kill Yablonsky was an ex-convict. The man who was hired to kill Chavez was on parole. Martinez, the Chicano informer who worked for the LA Police Department and in Texas, surfaced. We've done shows about him. He was out on a narcotics rap they could put him in. They let Lewis Tagwood out originally, you know, on a parole thing. And then they're free, you know, to move around. And if anything gets too heavy, they say, wait, you violated your parole. As long as they serve the system, they're okay. I have a letter from a man who's up in death row. It isn't death row now. I hope it never will be. He's up in San Quentin, and he's trying, you know, hard. He can't do very much to show his innocence from where he sits. We have to do it for him. But a letter was sent to him, and I can't mention his name. I want to protect his name, to the effect, you know how high up your particular rap goes, who you were serving. And the answer came back, I have not discovered yet how long the leash is. And I'm still trying to find out the term was who's pissing on which tree, what's happening along here, you know, what is, who's doing to what on the lower level. But I am not sure quite how long the leash is. They're confined in what they say, and everything is taken down, and who they're with is recorded. So it's up to us to find out.
As are their letters examined, right?
Well, it was subtle. The letters are examined. Their life is in jeopardy. This is why you can't write too much. Sure, it's examined. Everything is opened up, and everything that goes out is opened up. And, you know, when Hugo Pinnell went back after he was beaten up and brutalized and passed out in court and kicked and told, you know, die, dog, and so forth, he was taken back to Soledad, and then because of certain things he did, like, I don't know what the excuse was, they said that he couldn't have any visitors for 90 days, no one could see him, and then a visitor 30 minutes once a month for some indeterminate amount of time. This is all he can have. You know, this is civil liberties.
But his attorneys?
Huh? No one.
He can't see attorneys.
No. No. So that you have, let me say, I'm not really sure if his own attorney can get in there or not and see him right now. The Civil Liberties Union is getting into this. No one else, except that man, and I'm not sure, you know, if that's recorded. He has no visitors at all. just like James Ray had his brother visit him about a month ago. And he's still trying to say there was a conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King. So after his brother left that visitation, and because of the visitation, and this is documented, the order came that James could have no visitor for 6 months, and the brother can't return. So no one's seeing James Ray. Well, back to the charges of the Lewis Tapwood thing, he is bringing in the fact that Congress has to open up this investigation. The L.A. Free Press has an article that says the Tapwood story is not fully known. The San Diego documents mentioned in the Glasgow tapes will be published about the plan to blow up the convention, and there should be a Senate or Congressional Investigation Committee should go into this. Now, they are mentioning a Senate. I am writing letters to Congress about it, and it's up to you people in California to decide what kind of a police force you want and what kind of a prison system you want. Mr. Yevil Younger got a new crime lab set up for Salinas. He's getting them all over the state. And he selected one of 8 sites for a new regional crime lab that'll take in all kinds of information of the local police. The 420 of the state's local police, the sheriff's departments, and 45 of the 58 district attorney's offices. And they will work through that crime lab. Well, that crime lab is only effective if Mr. Younger is trusted. If they can manipulate evidence, lose evidence, alter evidence, then the lab isn't effective. If the people in Washington can send out doctors and believe Vita Baird without sending their own doctors, if they send the doctors that ITT selects and they're under criminal investigation or should be, and they passed off a charge to break up their large corporation, just a tiny little bit of fraction, and they pressured everyone in Congress about that bill previous, you know, to it being put into effect on the conglomerate. They were pushing that for a long time before their thing came to trial. It seems to me that in order to have a crime lab effective, you have to trust the men that run it. That's like sending stuff to Auschwitz and letting them determine if your bone was broken or if you died of starvation or poisoning or what kind of a crime lab is that going to be when cases are conducted like they are out in Salinas, just on the Pinnell case alone, or in the state of California. How can Robert Houghton or Yevil Younger use the taxpayers' money to set up anything until we really find out if these special enforcement bureaus, like the group of the Sheriff's Department in Los Angeles, the Special Enforcement Bureau, or special groups that are here, these tax squads, do they turn in the evidence of whether it's a murder or a suicide? You know, they don't have to go down the street shooting you. They can poison people and remove brakes from their cars and do all kinds of things and just say the car just, a person went off the grade. They, you know, their crime lab can look at a car and say nothing happened. They're only investigating themselves as long as they're defendants in a call. And that's the way I look at it. And I wouldn't trust them to go into a crime lab. Another subject came up at when Richard Sprague was here showing the slides of suspects being taken off of Dealey Plaza. There was somebody in our local community who thought he recognized the man that was wearing his hearing device on his ear. So I got in touch with him, and he thought that this person was his first cousin, and his first cousin lives in San Diego. And he gave me the background of his first cousin, and he collects weapons, machine guns, and all kinds of weapons. He works for the LA Police Department, and he was in the military. And he's a very violent, radical racist. He belongs to the Minutemen, the John Birch Society, and has a stockpile of weapons. And he thought that this particular cousin could have been in Dallas at that time. And he identified him. So he went down to San Diego, and he was going to tell me the cousin worked for the L.A. Police Department. And he called me. I talked with him. And the cousin isn't working for the L.A. Police Department now. He's working for a crematory down in the San Diego area. Now, when people like Mr. Bingham, the man who can tell whether George Jackson really was shot or planned a shootout, even had a gun, that man is missing forever. And when you think of many witnesses that have missed from the face of the earth, and you begin to think of the dossier that a particular gentleman with that background now works at crematory in the San Diego area.
Circumstantial, but it sure is interesting.
It's interesting. Yes, it's circumstantial. It's interesting. It's interesting. You know, I've talked about before that Mr. Shaw, who's deputy county coroner of Monterey County, worked for Army Intelligence. He's not. His whole dossier is not on medical coroner work. It's an intelligence system with the Army. And it's interesting that, again, in my newsletter, I'm in the section called Be Your Own Sleuth. I'll ask people who subscribe in 50 states, whatever cities, to do a background on the coroner of their particular community. If it's a civil service job and you're paying it as a taxpayer, I'm going to throw out the question, should that be public domain, what experience he has? Particularly since Stuart Bryan, the controversial coroner in Los Angeles, was all these past years was saying justifiable homicide in the case of Mexican Americans and blacks that were being ripped off down there, and Louis Tackwood inside the police department was saying they were planned murders by the LA Police Department. The county coroner was saying they were justifiable homicides, and now it turned out last month or the month before that Stuart Bryan isn't a doctor or a lawyer. He was charged as a fraud just a month ago. He was placed in the LA Police Department to make the decision, and the black people, the Chicanos, were making a fuss because the members of their family were outright ripped off. And they knew something was wrong. And then the county coroner says, no, that's justifiable homicide. So I'm mentioning a man that works down at a crematory in San Diego. I'm talking about our own coroner. I'm talking about the Los Angeles coroner. What happened to Mr. Stuart Bryan in Los Angeles? You know what happened, Phil? He was told, it was in the LA Times just last week, and I should bring in the wording, he was given a reprimand of suspension for 6 months and told to go to a foreign country or another state and get the medical credentials he needs to return to be the head coroner in Los Angeles. For 3 years, he was lying, or not, it shouldn't be that strong. For 3 years, he was saying justifiable homicide and arguing with Thomas Noguchi down there that about the problem of the murders, how these murders occurred. The man was found that he lied about his experience of even qualified for the job. I'm not saying he lied about his opinion. He wasn't even qualified. So he was told to go to another country and come back with the qualifications. And this is where international conspiracy comes in. You see, for those of you who picked it up in the middle or the end of the program towards the end, we're talking about conspiracies and assassination. And this is called Dialogue Assassination on KLRB. And we're on every Saturday from 4 to 5. And some days we stay on one particular subject, like Oswald's trip to Mexico at a certain hotel, and some days we jump around like today because there's so much in the news pertaining to political assassinations that I don't like to fall too far behind. So how about that, Phil? Well, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, that, like, again, be your own sleuth. I will be glad to have a newsletter because that column, I'll say, what country would Bryan Stuart go to get this medical degree to come back and be the coroner in Los Angeles?
It'd be interesting to report on when it happens.
Yeah, you know, go on.
I was going to say, as a sort of wrap-up, usually there are a lot of questions hanging when the show is over. A lot of people saying, oh, she can't say that. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Oh, she's just pulling that out of thin air. Well, there are a couple of alternatives. Sometimes you're around the studio for a moment after the program is over on Saturday. Sometimes you're not. And other ways, you can write the station, Dialogue Assassination, care of KLRB, box 3904 in Carmel. And that's another way to get an answer. And May does answer all the cards that she gets. I don't know how she finds the time to do it, but she does do it. So if you write, you'll get an answer, either by phone or by mail. So if you have questions, just don't let them hang, or just don't pass off the things that have been said by May on the program as gossip or lies or fabrications. Ask questions, and then if you don't get answers and you're not convinced, then you can make your own comments. But until you ask the questions and aren't satisfied, don't pass them off as lies or impossibilities. The newsletter, which is coming out, that you're putting out now through The Realist.
Yeah.
And repeat the address again?
595 Broadway, New York City, New York, 10012. If you send $8, you'll get The Realist 6 times a year, and you'll get the newsletter every other week. And a lot of it will be, you know, things that we cover, not too much we cover on this show, but some of it each week I'll put in the newsletter, too.
Okay, it's Conspiracy Newsletter, 595 Broadway, New York City, New York, 10012.